Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Down. So happy to be here with you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Hey, the music in the background as our Christmas has started here at That Sounds Fun. It's from our good buddy, Mr. Phil Wickham. His new album, Christmas, is amazing. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. I mean, you already love what you're hearing in the background. I know. Make sure you grab a copy and gift a couple to your friends. Y'all can all be singing along. Okay, speaking of singing along, y'all, I am so excited about today's episode. I've been a fan of this guy's music for a while. We share a bunch of friends, but this is our first time sitting down and chatting. Many of you love listening to Zach Williams. I know. You guys tell me this is who you want on the show. And I am thrilled he was able to make time to do it. So I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Getting back to work, but we're in the Christmas spirit. Happy Monday. Here's our conversation with Zach Williams. Bring that a little bit closer, but you can keep eating your ice cream.
Thank you. I just didn't want to get it on the microphone.
Listen, no. The person who comes after you that gets to have a microphone that smells like peaches and biscuits, it's going to be fine.
Who's coming in after me?
I don't know, but they're going to love it. Nobody's coming today. Cool. You're the only one today. Can I just tell you, you're the first artist to ever show up with ice cream.
Really?
So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was very kind of you and your team to bring a treat.
Yeah, we know what's up.
Is that how you roll everywhere? You always show up with a treat?
I'm a foodie.
Are you?
I'm a foodie.
Really?
Yes.
That's a true statement.
True statement. I have a cookbook that I wrote.
You're lying to me. You have a cookbook?
I'm a renaissance man.
For real?
No, seriously.
What is your cookbook? Okay.
I wrote a little cookbook a few years ago that was just some recipes that my wife and kids and me like to cook at home.
Uh-huh.
We just, like, when I'm off tour.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally, like, going to Publix when I leave here today. Gonna grab some stuff. We're doing ribeyes and this farro risotto that I've been making.
Yeah.
And some broccolini with this like whole grain mustard aioli that I do on the grill.
Oh my gosh.
And so we're gonna do that tonight, but I did this cookbook. And so I just love food. My mom sent me to college with a cookbook when I was 18. And
yeah.
It's like, learn how to cook. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And so that freshman year, I tore my ankle up, taught myself how to play guitar. Started watching Food Network. It was kind of this new thing that everybody was watching, and I was mesmerized by it, and I fell in love with food and music, and just the two for me are very similar. They, like, bring people together.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing this thing on my tour this fall called a meet and greet.
Oh, and you spell meet with an A?
I do.
My man.
And I had a kitchen built to pull behind the bus, the trailer. And so we have a chef from Napa Valley that's toured with me this entire tour.
This is why we need to be friends.
Yeah, made an entire, like, full course meal before every show. And we come out and we give them this little swag bag with some, like, utensils and a cookbook and an apron. And I come talk and hang out. And it's every night of the tour, it's sold out. So it's pretty cool.
And I don't know your personality as well, but I'm seeing this with Lauren Daigle as well, who we share as a friend, is she is doing the painting thing. It feels like everybody is kind of deciding that their VIP experience,
yeah,
they're like their fans that travel to see them who will pay that experience are actually not just getting a handshake and a hug anymore. They're
exactly
kind of getting,
I mean,
who you are.
It's weird to me. It's always felt weird to me to, like, try to sell a ticket that costs money to come see me.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so it was like, what can we do for people that, like you just said, want to travel and come to a show? That feels like it's worth it. Like,
yeah.
So this has been fun. And, like, people, I mean, for me, it's been really cool just to hear the stories and the feedback we get. It's like, hey, we came to your thing last night and we sat across the table from some people we didn't even know.
Yeah.
Ended up set with them at the show. Ended up exchanging numbers afterwards. Now we're going to hang out next week. It's like, that's really cool, you know?
That's really so cool.
It's neat just how that food, music, it brings people from all walks of life together.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but you live in Nashville.
I live in Spring Hill.
Spring Hill. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me where, as a foodie, what are your Nashville places?
Oh, man.
Or you can do Spring Hill places.
I like 5th and Taylor over
Brother,
in Germantown.
That listen,
place is good.
You show me that sausage biscuit thing at the start.
Yep.
That's no joke.
That place is good. I haven't been to, and I don't know, it might just be, I haven't been to Bourbon Steak yet, the new place on top of the Marriott or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it's good, but then I've also heard it's just like, overpriced, like, mm-hmm, for the view.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I like these little hole-in-the-wall places. We go over to 210 Jack for ramen.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of some other places.
That's a great answer. 210
yeah.
Jack is a deep
yeah.
pull. That's the real deal.
That's a fun one. I don't know. I mean, the problem is I'm on the road, so yeah. I don't get to go. I will say, if you're ever in Manhattan, Momofuku ramen is the best I've ever had in my life.
In your life.
And there's one in the Cosmopolitan in Vegas that's the same place.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. So one of the things I struggle with on the road is getting to a local restaurant. It's like one of the things that I always want to do, but we don't always have time to do. But how do you pick where you're going to go? Do you try to go eat on the road somewhere, or do you just stick at the venue because you've got the meet and greet and you don't have enough time?
A lot of times we do stay at the venue, but then we like, there's every once in a while, there's like that rare day where there's like something that looks cool that's close.
Uh-huh.
And a few weeks ago where were we at? And I don't even remember, but it doesn't matter. I see this like Latin fusion place across the street, and I skipped lunch and went over there, and they were serving this guacamole with fried plantains, and I had this big old thing of seafood paella, and it was so stinking good. And then we always try to find like the off the path bus food for the night. So,
teach me this.
It's like, no, we don't want to do B-dubs. We don't want to do pizza. So it's like, try to find the most random, crazy thing. So sometimes we find like some really good Thai food out on the road, like just like the old school, like greasy burger joints that's like, feels like they've not cleaned their grill and since the place opened, you know what I mean?
That's how I feel about boiled peanuts. Those, I'm like, if that pot is disgusting, I want your peanuts out of there.
Boiled peanuts. I was born in Florida, so that's a staple. Yeah,
oh, listen,
I love those.
I just made them for the first time. I'm 39 years old, and I've just made them for the first time last weekend, and I'm proud.
My dad makes them. My dad loves to do that. Oh, and those things are so good.
They're so good.
But yeah, just trying to find like something that's not your typical like chain.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a morale booster when the guys get on the bus and see, you know, things of Thai food sitting around. It's like, oh, this is, we're not having wings to go, you know, like hot wings or pizza. So it's pretty cool.
So this is a technical conversation for me because 2020 is when I start headlining bus tours. And so this is the first time this has been not like all fly dates. I normally do all fly dates, but we're switching it up next year. So
bus is going to change your life.
Oh, I've done one run and it's the best thing ever.
Man, you can, flights mess me up, like my back, my neck, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Dragging stuff out. Like, I just love the fact that, like, I have my own little home on the road.
Yeah.
Suitcase is there, everything I need.
How many buses are y'all running for a tour right now?
Right now, we have two out.
Okay.
Two with a big truck, 18-wheeler, and my kitchen. So.
Yeah. The kitchen.
Yeah.
Do you, on your bus, are y'all like 12 full, or are y'all condo, or do you have your
both buses are running about 10 people right now.
Oh, my gracious. So. You're really doing it. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I bet three buses is knocking on the door, huh?
It could be, yeah. Well, we actually three buses will be out on the spring tour.
Yeah.
So
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
It is pretty crazy. So
talk about the feeling, because so many people listen and have this in their workplace in one way or another.
Yeah.
When you suddenly blink and you're like, oh, not only am I like doing the thing, but like because I get to do this thing, I also get to provide for other people's families too.
Yeah. Well, it's for me, I mean, it's so funny because I spent so long on the road in a band before this, like Southern rock band that I toured in for years. And I have to pinch myself now, you know, when you go out and see like an 18-wheeler or two buses, because I literally toured for like 2.5 years in a box truck that we bought from like a Sears.
As delivery. Zach Williams, or when you were in the...
When I was in my old band. Like,
Lord have mercy.
We had a box truck that we bought from like one of the Sears distribution centers that had like the lift gate on the back. And we literally cut a hole out in the cab so that we could crawl in through the front two seats. And we took all the seats out of our old like Dodge church bus van thing. And we bolted three seats down in the back of this thing, put a cargo net up. We would put all our gear behind this cargo net. And we built a couple of like beds on one wall where we could put, you know, like air mattresses and our pillows. And then we had a converter in the cigarette lighter that had like six cables running out of it. We had a DVD and a TV mounted. And then, you know, we had a fan on the side of the thing for exhaust. And literally would ride in this thing like and never got pulled over. Had we ever gotten pulled over, we'd have went to jail.
I mean, for sure.
But I remember one summer in particular touring in Texas and it being like 106 or 107 degrees. And all of us coming back from Texas in our underwear.
Yeah.
Sitting in that box truck with a cooler full of ice and a fan blowing off of the cooler to try to cool us down because there was no air.
Yeah.
And so now I look out and I can see that, and it's just like, man, you know, for me, it's like, God, it's so good, like what he's done. So it's really cool.
It just feels like I'm watching it with some of my friends. I'm experiencing it on a much smaller level than you, of getting to go, like, not only is my dream coming true, but all these people are getting to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is more than you know when you're signing up for this, right?
Yeah, and it's, and I mean, it's a big responsibility too, but still, it's, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. How long, when did you switch from the Southern Rock Band to being a solo artist?
I came back from a tour in 2012 and had this complete, like, come to Jesus moment. I was just in a really dark place. I'd been traveling for years. I'd gotten so caught up in the lifestyle, drugs and alcohol, and I was just...
Were you already a Christian?
I was raised in church. My dad actually was a worship leader, so I mean, I was around it. I knew who Jesus was, and if you would have asked me, I would have told you I was a Christian,
sure.
You know, just because I was kind of in the Bible belts where I grew up. But there was nothing about my life other than the fact that I knew there was a God out there that loved me, and I had my parents had really, you know, built that foundation in an early age, but totally wasn't living it. Me and my wife were struggling. We were on the verge of a divorce, and she was pregnant with our fourth child, and I was just searching, and I remember we were leaving for a month to go to Europe, and she kind of told me that if I didn't make some changes, she wasn't going to be around, and I just remember one night on the tour kind of having this come to Jesus, like, you know, if you show me that you're real, I'm done with this lifestyle. And a few days later, we were driving across Spain, and our guy that was driving our Sprinter van was scanning stations, and it stopped on a Christian station in Spain, and I heard Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave come across the radio station, and I heard about 30 seconds of it, and the guy turned the station, and I went to the hotel room and looked that song up and just listened to it over and over, called my wife that night, and I was like, hey, I'm quitting my band. She was like, what? And she thought I was nuts, you know? She was like, you're not quitting your band. She's like, that's who you are. Like, that's your identity. And I'm like, no, I'm done. And I'm going to come home and cancel the rest of our shows, and we're going to find a church to start going to. And so literally came home, quit my band. It was this huge breakup with all these guys I'd been involved in. And I didn't really have an explanation for anybody other than just, like, I'd had this, like, experience, and, like, I needed to do what was best for myself and my family. And, you know, we started going to this church, and within a year – I launched a campus working at this church.
My gosh.
And then all of this, everything that's happened within the last 6-7 years has just been a pretty quick thing. So, you know, I've spent 20 years of my life playing music now, you know.
Yeah.
Signed a record deal at 38 years old. It was just pretty wild. So
When you tell the story and you say a year later I planted a campus.
Yeah.
In the middle, it takes a second to say a year later. When you're living in the middle of that year.
Yeah, and I remember literally, like, I remember thinking this church just gave me keys to this church, like, and it didn't burn down. Like, what is going on? You know, like, and I think there was probably a lot of people thinking the same thing. But I remember when the pastor came to me and asked me, you know, if I'd be interested in helping them launch a campus. He was like, we've been watching your family for about a year, you and your family, and we want to reach out to people that were struggling just like you with the same thing. Like, would you be willing to do this? He was like, we're going to let you pick the music. We're going to let you do this. It's going to be a simulcast service, so you don't have to worry about anything other than just leading worship. We're going to pipe in one of the pastors, and we're going to do this in the gym. And I was like, well, let me think about it, you know? And the whole thing, it's like, it's been really cool just in the last year to kind of look back and see what God's done. Just honestly, in the last 20 years, it's kind of what this record I wrote was about, just reflecting on everything. But my dad owned a construction company, and I've worked for him. I worked for him from the time I was about 15, 16 years old, like pretty full-time worked for him until I was 33. And he listened to Christian radio every single day on the job site, and I used to hate it. I was like, Dad, like, this is so cheesy. And all these dudes would make fun of him, you know, all these big burly construction guys would always throw a fit. And he always joked and said, you know, you guys get here before I do in the morning, you can pick the radio station. But he always beat everybody to work.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, like, that was such a God thing to, like, use my dad to plant those songs in my head. Because whenever I started leading worship at church, I didn't know the songs, but it was like they were part of my DNA. Like I had heard these songs my whole life.
You could just pull them back.
And
up.
I was just like, hey, I know that song. I know that song. Let's do this Sunday morning. And so it was like, even though I was living this other lifestyle at night and playing bars and clubs and traveling 4 days a week and then coming in and working, I was hearing this message every day for pretty much my entire life.
Uh-huh.
And then just, you know, over and over. And
okay, let me tell you what I thought when I've been listening through Rescue Story.
What?
I kept thinking, one of your radio friends is in the room, so I feel a little, one of your label friends. I kept thinking, what made him, he's so good. What made him want to be on Christian radio?
Yeah.
Because I thought, why is he not opening for Stapleton? And why, but you talking about that.
Yeah, that's it. I've lived that other lifestyle. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I do not want to do that.
And Christian, I hope that comes across right, because Christian artists are very talented.
True.
No. But there aren't a lot of people in your genre in Christian music. There are particularly, I don't listen to anybody else that does your kind of country rock in Christian that's any good.
Well,
and
you know.
You're really good.
Well, thank you. I was glad that it worked, because honestly, when I recorded that first record, I thought, man, there's nothing really doing. Nobody's doing it, so. Maybe there's a reason why, because it doesn't work in Christian music.
Right.
But, you know, I was like, I'm praying that it does, because it's the only thing I know how to do. Like,
yeah.
If I can't just be who I am. So I didn't want to change like a sound or the thing. Like, you know, the message has changed some, but even if you go back and listen to my older music, you can hear that older music and go, that kid grew up in church.
Uh-huh. Like,
he knows there's something out there.
You know, that's how I feel about Mumford and Sons. Do you ever listen
to
them? Yeah, y'all know the same Jesus I know.
Exactly. Well, it was like, exactly. So, I mean, it's just, but yeah, I mean, I don't want to do anything else. I feel like God has me exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. The Rescue Story album is so good.
Thanks.
And I just was, I was blown away by it as I've been listening to it. It came out October 4th, and just listening to it the last month, I've been like, man, this dude's no joke. I mean, I already knew because we share a bazillion friends, all the Winter Jam people, you know. But I thought, gosh, I am so interested to know. It feels like such a compliment to our faith when people that are as good as you choose to make art for us.
Awesome.
So thank you for doing
that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think that's really generous of you.
Thank you.
But I also, I mean, you tried the other side.
I did, you know, and spot. I feel like I spent a long time trying it. And if I can spend the rest of my life doing this, talking about Jesus, then it's still not enough.
Why?
Like I said, I spent too many years living for the devil. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I can spend the rest of my life doing it, it's never going to be enough to repay him for what he's done for me.
Yeah. So. Gosh, there's has to be so many people listening who want to feel like what you said of, I'm in the exact right spot. This is exactly who I want to be and what I'm doing. How did you know? How can they figure that out for themselves?
I mean,
sorry, I'm going to make you pastor for a minute.
Well, I think it's different for everybody. For me, there was two times for me that I really trying to figure out like really what God had planned, what he was doing, was when I got saved. Me and my wife, we're really just spending the first several months of our like new relationship with Christ, like just being in any kind of thing that the church had available. Every Wednesday night, there was some kind of class or group. Or
was she already a Christian too, or did she?
No, we both at the same time. Like she's got a really rocky past as well, and so we were both just like hungry, and we found ourselves in like anything that was open at the church.
Yeah.
And we were going and sharing our story with anybody that would listen. And she signed up to go with some women from the church one Sunday to speak at a women's prison. And she just wanted to go share her testimony and be a part of it. And I stayed home with our kids. And she came home and was like, couldn't stop talking about it. And I was like, the next time there's a chance, you're going with me. And I was like, no, I don't know about that. I was like, I don't think that's something I want to do. And I had literally quit playing music at the time. I was taking a break. Like, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. Like, but I had just kind of started like writing some new music that had these like, you know, kind of faith-based lyrics and things like that. Like, I could just tell things were changing and shifting. And she was like, no, you're going to go. And I was like, I really don't know if that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so she goes behind my back and signs me up with one of the pastors at our church. And of course I went, but she was like, take your guitar, play some of those new songs you've been writing, like, and let's just go share our story. And so we did. And I just remember that day, there were like 35 women that gave their life to the Lord at this prison.
Wow.
And I had a guy with me playing guitar, and we looked up. We were like, we had our eyes closed. I'm playing this song. And I look up and see it, and I'm just like in tears. I can't even hardly like hold it together. And I couldn't even hardly talk about it for like months after I got back. But I remember that day, like it was almost like somebody just like popped me in the back of the head. And it was like God going, dude, if you need a moment, an aha moment, like this is it. And this is what I want you to do. These are the songs, the people, the places that I want you to play these things. And so that was a very clear like, okay, maybe there's something to this. Like maybe I've been wasting my time with this, you know, talent for all these years doing this other thing. And then a few months later, the church that we were going to, you know, starts talking to me about leading worship every once in a while. And I remember the first time I stood on stage and led worship, it was the first time that I ever remember feeling like comfortable on a stage in my own skin, because all these years that I'd been this front man for this rock band, I had just felt like a phony. I felt like I had created this other...
Oh, you were the front man. You just weren't in it. So when you left, they lost the front man.
Yeah. It was name. It was like Zach Williams in the Reformation.
Wow.
And when I quit, it was like... But yeah, but so when... But I had this other band. It was like I had created this whole other persona, this guy, this like front man that you got to be, you know, like everybody look at me and this performance and like... I was never that guy. My wife would always, you know, and I hated being that guy. I was married and I didn't like being that guy and having all these girls at shows. And it was just so weird to me that I had to put on this show. And I just remember when I stood on stage for the first time leading worship one Sunday morning, it just hit me. I was like, wow, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like it ain't about me. Like it wasn't about me or the songs or anything at all. It was just about I can stand on this stage and sing. And I feel completely comfortable in my skin. And it's all because I'm just having a moment with God, like this vertical relationship.
Wow.
And so it was like very clear. I told my wife when I come back from like that service, I was like, I think I'm supposed to be leading worship at church, you know? And she didn't know it, you know, that the church was going to ask me to, you know, launch a campus. And a few months later, that's when it all happened. I was just like, I think that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And whenever the record deal happened, we were both completely content. Like, we were just in the happiest place we could ever be, just living our life, going to church. Like, I was working for a church full time. Like, I thought, man, I'm playing music every week. Yeah. This is what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, some guy comes to church and sees me and hears me and offers me to come over and write some music. And then me and him wrote Chainbreaker together.
Just like that.
Like the third trip to Nashville, I wrote Chainbreaker with a guy named Jonathan Smith and a girl named Mia Fields.
Oh, I love Mia.
And yeah, and so we, you know, and it was one of those songs that happened really fast. And I drove home to Arkansas and I prayed that God would take this song all over the world. And I wasn't signed to a record deal or anything. And for 6 more months, I drove back and forth to Nashville just writing songs. And eventually somebody at the label heard the song and they played it in a meeting for the entire staff. And the very next day, they offered me a deal just off the demo. And I'd never played a song or a show or anything until a Momentum radio event.
Yeah, I've been down there.
About 6 months after I signed my deal. And it was like, are we sure that we did this right? Like, has anybody heard this guy play before? And everybody's like, no, but trust me, it's going to be fine. And like the label like shut down and brought everybody out to this performance. And I was just like, this is either going to be a train wreck or this is going to help launch this thing, and it worked out perfect. Like God just prepared me for the whole thing.
So. Yeah, because what non-Nashville people don't know is usually when that happens, they will have y'all do a little show here.
Yeah,
and all the record labels come, and some friends and whatever will come see you do a practice round.
And that had been the talk. Yeah. Like, let's do a showcase. Let's get a band. And
showcase, then, that's the word.
And then there was never a showcase or a band. It was just hey, we heard your song.
In front of
we
every heard
your
radio
song,
DJ.
And we want to offer you a record deal. And I was like, hang on a second. What did you just say? And I'm like, I'm sitting in my office getting ready to do like a Wednesday night practice with my church band. And my wife and kids had showed up. And I was just like, wait a minute. Are y'all offering me a record deal? And they were like, yeah. And I was just like, what? So it's crazy.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation with Zach to tell you about some of our friends making today's shows possible. I love how you guys always come up and talk to me about a couple of our sponsors, and Flamingo is absolutely one of them. Personal care is just that. It's personal, but y'all love talking to me about it. But what is important to you in your hair removal routine this fall and winter? Is it that pre-holiday party, getting ready, super special time just to yourself? Or is it having super smooth legs, even if no one can see them? Or sliding, this is my favorite, sliding into cozy sheets and fresh pajamas after shaving? Flamingo makes body care for women with hair. It's a great razor, shave gel, body lotion that works. Flamingo was started by a group of women at Harry's, which is a men's shaving brand, who realized they were only using men's razors because there wasn't an option that felt right for them. And as y'all know, hair removal, especially in the winter, can be such a chore, and that is okay. But the Flamingo Shave Set is anything but routine. It's a $22 value, but for you guys, it is $16 with free shipping. You get the Flamingo Razor, 2 5-blade cartridges, a body lotion, a foaming shave gel, a shower hook, and a reusable pouch. I absolutely love it. I have one that I keep at home. I have one for my travel bag when I go on trips. And I absolutely love the closeness and the comfort of the shave. And I love the razor. It's so easy to handle. The whole thing is just the best shaving experience I've ever had. Think about it. You probably spend more than $16 on razors and blades already. And with the Flamingo Shave Set, you can upgrade for less or the same as you're already paying now. It comes with the Flamingo Razor, foaming shave gel, body lotion, shower hook, and reusable travel pouch. So to get your Flamingo Shave Set for just $16 with free shipping today, go to shopflamingo.com/Annie. Again, that's shopflamingo.com/Annie. And another sponsor we are grateful for is Uncommon Goods. I love that you guys are already telling us about what you are finding on their website. Listen, it is such a fun website to shop around, to look for things that are perfect gifts for the people in your life. For some people in my life, I found a beautiful cheese board, some great candles, some beautiful jewelry. Listen, this is the best website because they just have a ton of handcrafted, really personal items that are beautiful and unique. And it's just fun to peruse. It is a really fun website to just sit down and look through. And then you end up ordering a bunch of things. They have unique, fun, beautiful things for you, your home, your garden, your office, all of it. They have cool and unusual gifts for any occasion. If you love unique things, you're probably going to want everything you see. That is my problem. I want everything I see. Their team scours the globe looking for the most unique, creative things they can find, things that you can't find anywhere else. So for people who are searching for something truly unique, whether for yourself or for a gift for others for Christmas or a birthday, this is the website for you. And I love that Uncommon Goods donates $1 from every purchase and has given more than $2 million to nonprofit organizations like RAIN, the Rape and Abuse and Incest National Network, and the IRC, the International Rescue Committee. They support good causes like paid family leave, a fair living wage, which you know matters to us here. And they don't sell products made with fur, feather, or leather. And they support small businesses like all of us, so many of us have, and local artists. Uncommon Goods wants to help you discover your new favorite thing. They're offering our friends an exclusive deal on your first purchase. Just go to uncommongoods.com/thatsoundsfun to receive $5 off your first purchase. That's uncommongoods.com/thatsoundsfun to receive $5 off your first purchase. And now back to the show with Zach. Man, it just feels like I'm tracking with the theme correctly, and this could be true for any of us, that you couldn't have known where this was going, but you walked through the next right door.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea. At the end of the day, I was like, my dad has a construction company. I can always lead worship.
Yeah.
And I joke with everybody all the time at the label. I'm like, if this next song doesn't work, I'm going to finish sheetrock next year. I'm not going to do that. I can still remember how to do that. So
that's how I used to teach elementary school. And I'm always like, there's always kids.
Exactly.
There's always schools. You know, if this stops working, I got schools I can teach in.
But, you know, I hope that's not the case. I mean, I love what I'm doing. So.
Yeah, I think for any of us, probably the majority of the people listening and myself, we aren't trying to be musicians, but we all are trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And to hear you just go, the next right thing was going to prison. And then you felt that thing.
Yeah.
That thing on the inside that goes like, I am on fire yeah. over this.
Well, the thing is like, and I've said this a lot since that prison date, like, and I've heard other people say it, but I think the biggest thing like God wants to hear you say sometimes is I'll go, like, period. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, if he hears you say that, sometimes maybe he doesn't send you, but he wanted to know that you were willing to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when he does send you, even when you're not prepared to go in, the second you open your mouth or the second you feel uncomfortable, it's like he sits there and taps you on the shoulder and is like, I got this. Mm-hmm. You know, so it works out. And he has everything planned for you.
This is a hard question. You can say, I don't want to answer that, Annie, and I'll be fine. We'll still be friends. People could look at your story and see all the things you've gained in the last 6 years over through walking through those doors. Can you identify things that you lost by being obedient?
That I lost.
Is there anything you grieve that didn't, or anything that changed that was like, well, that was hard?
I think the relationship with the guys that were in my band was hard, but I think that God is working those relationships out now. Mm-hmm. I've seen them. They're coming back together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's taken some time because I think your typical reaction, and it would be my reaction too, is, well, I hope that guy fails.
Right.
Like, let's see how long this lasts. Right. You know what I mean? And I think that's a lot of people's reaction to a lot of things. Probably a lot of people's reaction to Kanye right now. Let's just wait and see how long this lasts. But the thing is, God is like, rekindled and remolded those friendships that I had, and now they're like, they're able to see like, oh, this just wasn't some dude like going off on some wild thing that like he thought he had to go see and do, like it was like a literal like change, because like I said, I tried so hard to make all these things happen on my own, and now just to have them happen the way they've happened, it's for me, I can totally just tell that it was a God thing. And I mean, I think God is putting those relationships back together now for me. And if there's anything, that would be the one thing I can say that was kind of lost. Yeah. But everything else has been so much better on this side of it, that even my worst days with Jesus are better than my best days before. So.
Tell me why you named the – I hate asking questions that I'm sure you've answered before.
Oh, you know the answer to this.
I know why you named it Rescue Story.
Well, I mean,
because it's not your first album, so it's not like
it's not my first album.
And the cover art's beautiful, by the way. Whoever did the cover art, that's sick.
Thank you. Well, that was the idea behind that, was to do a different piece of artwork for every song. So if you have the physical CD, it's really cool because you can open up and look through it, and each single is a different artwork for that. But just, I mean, for me, this song, I feel like this album. We wrote like almost 40 songs for this album.
Get out of my life. You wrote 40 songs?
I had, when
and
I
what's
started
on there? 13, 12?
Only 10 right now.
10. I mean,
we got a handful of songs still sitting out to like do stuff with.
Let's
go.
I like that.
But we wrote them.
Welcome to 2019 where you don't have to put it all on the record.
Yeah. So I was like, I had a goal of 50 songs for this album. And
why? So you could pick through them?
Yeah, I just wanted to write.
I respect an overachiever, buddy.
Just wanted to write 50 songs because I knew that if I could write 50 songs, there would be maybe 10 good ones on it.
You write all of them?
Yeah, I co-wrote. Yeah,
yeah.
And so I was like, if we can do 50, then surely there's 10 songs that we can pick from, you know. And there ended up being a lot more than that we really liked. But for me, we picked the 10 that felt like encompass my rescue story, and that could like bookend off of each other. So when you're listening to it, they all can stand alone, but they also all feel like they belong on this record.
Yeah.
And, you know, this record for me was like the first time in the last 3 years since the Chainbreaker album came out that I've kind of sat back and had a chance to like soak some of this in and just see what has happened and what God's done. And so while we were working on it, we started, you know, thinking about these ideas and things that had happened in my life, and I just kind of went back to 20 years ago to the things that I missed that God was doing in my life when I started playing music, and the parties that he, you know, kept me safe driving home from, or the places that he kept me out of, and the people that, you know, he put in my life to keep me away from certain things, or, you know, and I was like, man, I always just looked at those things as like luck or circumstance or like, oh, there's, you know, chance that happened. And I never really put it together that, like, he was really there just, like, moving things out of him and putting it all together. And And so this record was kind of like this whole reflecting on that. And I think for me, I probably wrote the same song 10 different times or maybe even 40 different times, you know, because of this season that I was in. And I'm sure the next record will be different. I'll be mm-hmm. somewhere else and being, you know, but it just felt like, it felt like a book to me. The songs felt like a story.
Yeah.
And so Rescue Story was a very personal song for me. You know, it kind of takes me back to the 2012 when I got in my bedroom floor on my knees in my closet, moved all my boots out of the way and just asked God to come live in my life. And like that realization that he was there with me in that room was like, that's my rescue story. That's where it started. And so, you know, I wanted people to hear this album and like, you know, maybe either be reminded or, you know, want to go find their rescue story. Like want to go make that commitment to follow God. So
We talk a lot about praying on your knees.
Yeah.
Do you do it a lot or is it only in the big moments or what's
No, I do. That was the first time I'd ever done it. I mean, I remember growing up like in church and I just always thought that was so silly.
Yeah.
You know, and as you got older, you know, obviously it's not a really macho thing to think about, you know, and I was so caught up in all that stuff before I gave my life to the Lord. Like I was so caught up in like the cool, what's cool, you know, being cool that I would have never done that. Mm-hmm. But when you get broken and when you're just in that place, that's your last resort, man, there was something powerful that happened to me that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it changed my life. So, I find myself hitting my knees more and more, you know, because I still struggle and I still, and who doesn't, you know?
Day before yesterday, in my kitchen. I mean, I literally was like, something was so spinning in my brain that I was like, okay, you know what? So I was like on the tile. I'm like, Lord, I just need to hand this back to you again.
Yeah.
Because I can't even reheat soup and not feel without peace.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I just have found, and we've talked a lot about on the show and with my friends who are listening, we've talked about a ton of how different it is if you will just hand it, if
just
you
submit
just change
yourself.
Your posture.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's such a, yeah. Exactly.
What was it like? Have you met Big Daddy Weave, I'm sure?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stuff. And what was it like when you told them the story of Redeemed?
Well, the first time I told them the story, I was sitting in the driveway of my house in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
My wife was getting our kids ready for school, and this radio station that had heard me share the story at my first official show, you know, as an artist, asked me if I could call in on this date and share this story because they had Big Daddy Weave in the studio.
Oh, wow.
And so I go out because it was the only place quiet enough to get was sitting in my garage. And I call in and shared this story with Mike. And then they were one of the first people to take me out on tour. And so I've probably toured with them 60 shows.
Bull.
And
have you told this story every show?
I told that story. I've told that story so many times.
I bet.
But the coolest part about the whole thing is while we were on tour together, it was right after Jay had his feet amputated and they had gone through this just really dark season with him. Their father was not healthy. He was really sick. And they were just really in a dark spot.
Yeah.
And Mike and we were talking about songs on the bus one day. And, I was just like, man, dude, your song, like, saved my life. Like, and telling these stories. And he was like, well, you know, like, do you have anything that you've written that, like, you know, maybe you're not going to do anything with? And I was like, I have a song that I wrote a year ago. And the day I wrote it, I turned and said, this feels like Big Daddy Weave. And he was like, well, what's the song? And I'm like, well, check this out. So I had the demo, played him the demo. He listens to it. He's like, hour later, he's in the venue somewhere. I'm still on the bus. He texts me. He's like, hey, can you send me the MP3 and the lyrics to that? So I send it to him.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, he comes to me. He's like, hey, We called your publisher. We put that song on hold. We're going to record it. And I was like, "Are you serious?" And then it was their lead single, "Alive," on their
record. Of course.
So yeah,
and that's yours.
So it was really cool to be full circle, like just to
have the Lord just do that sometimes.
I know, and it's like really cool. So
yeah, I find myself there have been two things in the last year where I've gone like, I didn't even know. I wouldn't have thought to ask you for that.
Yeah.
That's so above what I could have even dreamed up. You're crazy.
But it's crazy. And that's the thing. It's like God just showing out and doing God things.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Can we talk about your song with Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
I love her. Her face is on my license plate. I just need
you
to know.
Are you kidding me?
Would I ever joke about that, Zach Williams?
Awesome.
We've been friends for such a long time. You know better. I would never kid. I have her face on my driver's license. I mean, on my driver's license, on my license plate. I adore her. So I'm guessing if she's on your record, y'all are like actually friends or something. Y'all know each other. She knows your face.
She knows my face.
Yeah.
She did invite me to, we rehearsed in her private studio for
on 12 South
for this tour. No, she has a new place that she just built out in Laverne.
Oh, okay.
And she invited us to use the studio for tour rehearsals. And so
cancel that stuff at sound check. We got somewhere to go.
Last day of tour rehearsals, she was in there with her band getting ready for her week at the Opry.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to go by and talk to her, and she was telling me how excited she was about the song and looking forward to the CMA performance. So,
yeah.
I mean, she's the real deal. She was so nice.
I want her to be. I know she's the real deal.
I mean, you don't have a career as long as she's had and not be real. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she is totally not forgotten where she came from.
Yeah.
And still knows what it's like to be the little guy.
Yeah.
She just had a way of, like, making you feel like you were the only person here in this room.
When y'all are recording that song, mm-hmm. it's not, y'all aren't in the studio together, are you?
We were, yeah.
You were? You got to do it together.
Well, we didn't actually do it at the same time. Uh-huh. She did her part, and we were looking at each other through a window. And it was crazy because I thought, well, she's going to come in, do this really quick and leave.
Uh-huh.
And we get there, and her manager's like, she got up like 3 o'clock this morning and started working on her parts. Like, she loves this song.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he was like, no. She didn't even make it through half the course when we played it for the first time when she said, I want to be on this song. And so she showed up and was there for like 4 hours. And she would do a part and be like, oh, y'all hang on. I can do a better one. Like, just give me another one. She's like, I'm feeling the spirit. Like, let me have another take. And then she'd ask us, and she'd be like, now, what do you think? Now, tell me if you don't like it. And I'm like, you're Dolly Parton. Like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
You know, there was like one spot in the song. It's like the very end of that song. And I just remember the day she did it in the studio, I turned to my producer. I was like, I feel like I just got tucked into bed like by Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I just feel like she just put me in bed. It was awesome. It was so cool.
And what you experienced of her is who you believe she was before you met her.
Yeah, it's who you hope. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I hope she's nice and awesome.
Isn't that a funny thing? Have you had it? Don't tell me who, unless you really want to tell me who. I mean, because I've had the other experience too.
I've met some people. I won't say their names.
But 9 out of 10 times, you're like, you and I. Yeah. I'm and like, you Zach hope that it's exactly like who I hoped you.
You
was.
Hope it's like, oh well, we were in the airport.
Yeah,
they were having
a
bad day.
Right.
Or they went to DMV.
Right.
You know. You don't.
Yeah.
Know.
So that's what I was gonna say. Talk to the person who's out there who met me at an airport. Actually, and I had just gotten dumped, and they didn't know.
Actually, name is David, and I talked to him at the Ryman the other night, and this is really funny because my wife brought him backstage after the show, and she brought him up to our friends and family room. Apparently, he sat by my dad at the Ryman when we played our show and realized who my dad was halfway through the show.
Okay.
And my wife was there, and she saw him just like worshiping in Fear's a Liar.
Yeah.
And they get to talking, and he's like, yeah, I work at Nashville at the airport, and I'm in TSA, and your husband comes in there all the time. And I tried to talk to him one morning, and he just looked like he was in a bad mood. And I was like, oh no. I hope I wasn't mean.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you weren't mean. I could just tell that like you just weren't happy to be there. And so I was like, well, dude, I'm so sorry. I was like, from now on, I know your face. I was like, if I ever see you again.
Yeah.
But he was like the nicest guy, big old guy, like just muscled up. And I was like, man. But my wife was like, he was there by himself, came to see your concert. And I was like, super cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so
because the problem is we are humans.
Yeah.
You and I and everyone who gets recognized in public.
And who wants to be at the airport?
Right.
Honestly.
Right. I mean, and so it just is always hard for me because for your David, that, and for other people, that's their one chance that they're seeing you in public. And if I'm having an off moment and they don't know it, I carry that. And so then we also don't want to be a fake human. I don't want to be a robot every time I'm in public.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you sort out the balance of that? You just apologize when you meet him again?
Yeah, I did. That's what I told him. I was like, dude, so sorry. You know, could have been having a bad day. But I mean, at the same, it's like you just said, at the end of the day, we're just real people.
Yeah.
Like, I go to Publix and buy my groceries just like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten to know my guys in the meat market really well.
Yeah.
So they give me the good cuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, just be nice to everybody.
You
don't
do
just
keep dropping Publix. Why are you so bougie? Why can't you go to Kroger?
Because honestly, it's the closest one to my house.
It's right by
as soon
house.
As I drive out I'm of my neighborhood, kidding. It's
you
there.
Go to Publix.
And I do. They're Greenwise. I'm giving them some love here. But they're Greenwise ribeyes. I would put them up really close to
Really? Very good. Okay.
Really good.
Wow. Just saying. Noted.
Yeah.
Well
and
done.
Not as, you know.
Yeah. Pricey. Talk about playing the Ryman.
Dream come true.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I was like, I remember when I first started writing music and playing songs. We came over here, you know, my early 20s with a bunch of guys and went to the Country Music Hall of Fame and walked into the Ryman, did all that stuff. And I was just like, you know, how cool would it be to get to play here one day? And I got to do it last year with Third Day on their farewell tour.
I used to nanny for the Powells. You ready for that?
Oh, 20, really?
25 years ago.
Wow.
I was their nanny back in Georgia.
Mac is a great guy.
He
invited us to play. And that was, I mean, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But doing your own show, I wasn't nervous at all until I walked into that room at 3 o'clock the other day and stepped on that stage and instantly got like this like stomach, like nerves. Like, I was just like butterflies. And I was like, what am I doing here? You know, but just like standing there, just like, it was cool. It was like standing there where all these legends have played. And you think about all the songs that have been written, all the work that's been put into their craft, you know, to get to do that. It was such an honor. But then I was like, while I was standing there, I was like, God was going, you get to talk about me. So that was even cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool for me. Just stand on that stage and talk about what God's done in my life. That was the best thing.
What are some other rooms around the country or around the world that you're like, I can't wait to play that, or that I felt a similar thing?
I want to play the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
I would love
Come on, let's go, Hollywood Bowl.
I want to do Tabernacle in Atlanta. I'd love to play there. I'd like to do my own show at Bridgestone.
So okay.
Let's just go ahead and say that.
Yeah, why not? That feels, to be fair, that feels real doable.
Well,
I feel like that's
maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I honestly, those are like the ones. Like,
yeah.
I've gotten to do the Opry, which was a huge, I mean, that's an honor every time you get to be on that stage. And like I said, God's just been so good to me. Like, I'm just taking it one step at a time. Like, I'll mess it up if I start trying to do it. So.
Yeah. I would love to talk about the CMAs. Here's the funny thing. You and I are sitting here before you perform. This comes out the day after.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, so, let's just act like it went good.
Let's talk about how great
Golly.
The CMAs went. Tell me. Let's just, I mean, when
let's
you got that
not
phone
talk
call,
about, how did you mess up the lyrics to your own song?
With Dolly Parton?
Did you fall? Oh, man, that'd be terrible.
All right. Tell me about the day you got that phone call. Was that like, oh, this is casual? Or were you like, whoa?
No, it was whoa. It was crazy because I have a trip to Israel. The morning after the CMAs.
Have you been before?
Never been.
Oh, and brother.
I know.
I cannot
and
wait.
And I'm leading worship in like all these landmark places. Like,
yeah, you're going to be done for.
So
good.
I was actually supposed to be there already on the day of the CMAs.
Oh.
And so we get the phone call and it was like, wait a minute. We already have our flights booked.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time trying to get all this worked out. And I'm supposed to be there like leading a trip with Willie and Corey Robertson.
Yeah.
So then we had to call and explain that, and they were like, do your thing,
of
huge
course.
Opportunity. So we redid it all and got our flights rebooked. And so now it's like, now I'm just like, did we really just like get asked to play at the CMAs? And it's crazy.
I mean, that's like mainstream for real.
Yeah.
You're singing about Jesus with Dolly Parton.
It is. I can't wait.
Like, go back and tell 2011 Zach Williams. He's not going to believe you.
No. 2015 or 16 or last year, Zach Williams wouldn't have believed you. Honestly, like, I would have been like, you're nuts. But no, it's really, it's cool. It's such a huge opportunity to be on that stage and share that message.
Yeah. Do you have tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
There's a place in Israel. I'm just going to send it to you where they have all sorts of old icons, mm-hmm. like pieces from Jesus's time.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they tattoo on you. Just
really?
In case. You want a tattoo while you're in Jerusalem.
Oh, that's cool.
They're super rad.
Okay.
And they're all like, you know, 5,000-year-old pieces. And I mean, they're
nuts.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah. I'll get it to you.
Cool.
It's really cool. Someone told me before, I've been twice. Someone told me before I went the first time, reading the Bible goes from black and white to color. And I was like, I grew up a Christian. That's fine. I believe you, but I like know the Bible story, so I'm fine. Nope. It is.
I know. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I've heard it will change your life.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be the girl who gives you like 1,000 expectations and it only hits 3 of them. But there is just something when you're standing at the temple and you're like, Jesus was here. Mm-hmm. Like, actual Jesus was actually here. It shocked my system.
Wow.
And some really fast. And you're going with great people.
Yeah,
so.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that is quite a week for you, sir. I'd like to play the CMAs and then immediately go to Israel.
It's pretty crazy. Then I get a break, and I'm looking forward to it. It's
yeah,
gonna be
for the
awesome.
Rest of the year?
Till March.
Bull.
I cannot wait. It's going to be so awesome.
What are you going to do?
Actually, I'm going to take a bunch of song routes in January and February.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of guys that I've wanted to write with for a while that, again, it's just God's opened the door for some things to happen, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get to sleep in a little bit.
Get to sleep in a little bit, and then I'll probably be looking for something to do by January.
Right.
Because my wife's going to be like, you have messed everything here up.
That's right.
I can't do anything. You know, I can't get these kids to do nothing. So,
how many do y'all have?
We have 4.
Okay.
And she homeschools the 2 youngest. So,
okay.
And the bad thing is they're on my schedule. Mm-hmm. So, if we're up late, they sleep in late.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just need you to go somewhere. Go do something. Go find something to do. So I've been working on filling my calendar for, you know, a few days a week with some songwriters.
Okay, well, if you ever want to co-host a podcast, I'm easy to find.
Okay.
Just come up here. Let's get some people. If you're like, Annie, I'm so bored.
Yeah.
I need something to do tomorrow. I'll be like, well, all right, Zach, let's go for another round.
Awesome.
We'll bring somebody in.
That'd be cool. Sorry. I keep forgetting we're not live.
Do you want a water?
And the whole time I've been holding that cough thinking.
Oh, God love you. Look, I got a water right here.
Thinking we're live and this is going so good, I don't want to cough.
Oh, my gosh. Bless your bones. Do you need a water?
You can call Kanye in here and I'll be co-hosting.
Listen, I need you to pull your microphone back around because I want to talk to you about this. You want to talk to Kanye?
I said, let's get him in. We'll co-host that.
I'm scared by myself, but I'm not scared if you're here.
Come on.
Okay, here's the word. So for anybody who has a connection to Kanye, Zach Williams and I like to interview him.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do it. What's your first question? I need to see if you're any good at this. So I need you to tell me your first question interviewing Kanye West.
Well, I didn't know I was going to actually have a question for you.
Well, that's going to show whether you're really good at this or not.
My first question.
It doesn't have to be your first one. Just what's one you want to ask?
You just put me on the spot.
You're fired. I'm going to.
I'm done. I don't know.
I'm calling Matt Powell.
I don't know what I would
forget
ask.
You. You and me and Kanye are sitting in here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask him. What Bible story stands out to you the most? That's what I want to start hearing him talk about. I have really enjoyed, maybe, hearing him talking about his experience.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear him talk about Jesus outside of his experience.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, just looking at, if he can't relate to the Saul and Paul experience, then... Goodness gracious.
Man, I have never watched something from a distance. I don't know the guy at all yet until we interview him. But I've never watched something at a distance. I thought, I bet this is Saul and Paul-like because people are mad like it's Saul to Paul.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but I mean, God can't save Kanye, then God can't save Zach Williams.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
same.
He's no different.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, great. That'll be a great interview. I'm looking
forward
to that. I'm glad you're available until March. That gives us 5 months to set it
happen.
Up. I can't tell you how many people DM'd me. We have people who ask all the time for a particular artist or whoever. And so people have been asking for you for a while.
Really?
But yes, man. But how many people DM'd me thinking I could just make a phone call and get Kanye? I was like, y'all, pump the brakes. I ain't got that kind of power. Zach, thank you for doing this today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Our last question we always ask.
Okay.
Because the show is called That Sounds Fun. Tell me what you do for fun.
What is fun?
Oh,
I'm just joking.
No, that's, you can go there.
We love to go like to Gatlinburg and get a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
We love anything like in the mountains, like
the
scenery. So last couple of years, we've gone to Canada and gotten a cabin. This year, we've gone to Gatlinburg a couple times.
Yeah.
And then I honestly, this may sound weird, but fun for me is cooking.
Yeah.
Like, I literally love it. Like it's therapy. I don't know why. A lot of it's because I'm OCD,
mm-hmm.
and I just love like prepping
everything. Yeah, everything's in its right place.
And, like having it all like it's a cooking show, and I can just like grab my stuff and put it all in there. And for me, that's just fun, like that. And I just love what's like writing a song. I love to share something I made with somebody and just see what they think. Like, I want to know what you think about this. Like, do you like my food or do you like my song? Like, that's just something I love it, so.
So when we get Kanye in here, will you bring like a little something? Can you, will you be in charge of the snacks?
I'll get the Chick-fil-A.
No, you got to cook it.
Yeah.
You can't. I know it's a song, but if you're the chef,
my kids right now love that song. They love that song.
The silliest. I respect it.
It is,
but
it's funny. But, I mean, you know. I mean, I don't know.
It's a great Instagram caption. People are using it up one side and down the other as an Instagram caption about their significant others.
Yeah.
Okay, you know. So I need you can bring Chick-fil-A, but I also would like for you to like make something that impresses him. We're gonna have to impress him a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Figure that out.
Appreciate your commitment to that. You've got a month at least. You've got
to
go to Israel.
If you call me and you tell me you're doing an interview, I will whip something up.
Okay, done.
We will cook it here.
Let me tell you what everyone who's listening knows, including our friend that's with us. I'm going to make this happen now. We will figure it out.
Okay.
I'm about it. I was scared to do it by myself. I'm 0% scared with you involved.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Friends, isn't he just the best? I love when we meet someone in person who ends up being as cool, if not cooler, than we thought they would be before we knew them. I'm so thrilled. And listen, if y'all know Kanye, he's spinning around in our circles. Zach and I want to interview him. Get him to us. You know how to find me. I'm embarrassingly easy to find, and Zach's incredibly easy to find as well. So get him to us, and we'll sit him down. We want to be the first podcast that gets to talk to Kanye. So if you know him, send him our way. And make sure you grab a copy of Zach's new album, Rescue Story. It is, as you heard me say in the show, it is incredibly good. I have just really enjoyed listening to it. And also, I'm just a fan of the music of the people that we like. And so I like this music even more now because I like the dude even more now. So make sure you follow Zach on social media. Tell him thanks for being on the show, how much you enjoyed it. And get us Kanye, people. Get us Kanye. If you need anything else from me, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That is how you can find me. F as in find him. Find Kanye for us. Annie F. Downs, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And again, make sure you grab a copy of Zach's album, Rescue Story, and follow him on social media. I follow him, and I think it's a really fun follow. I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same, and we will see you back here on Thursday.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.